It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hey, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 95% always is my co-host, Steven Brown. And Lisa Brown is here.
Hello, hello.
And Tina Canfield is here.
Hey.
Who said it's been a year, which
over
I can't believe.
A year. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I think the last one we were on was Age of Ultron.
We need to stop.
That was more than a year ago. Yeah.
No, right. There was another one. I just don't know what it was.
Oh.
Because it's literally
been
that
a
long.
Minute.
If you know what it was, please leave a comment.
Please do, because I'd love to know.
Yeah. But Lisa and Tina are here because months ago, they stopped me and said, when Wonder Woman comes out, we're on the podcast.
We claim this podcast.
Yes.
It is ours to have.
And I said, yes. And I had a crazy weekend. U2 was in Chicago last night, so I went. And then we had shows around it. And then we played in the parking lot.
Did you really?
We did,
That's awesome.
That's cool.
It was fun. We made like $122.
Oh, there you go.
People just dropping money in the bucket. It was fun. But that also meant that I saw Wonder Woman at 9 a.m. in IMAX and 3D, which were two ways I didn't want to see it. But I was like, when will this be done? And then when can I go? So we have all seen it.
Yeah.
Yes. And Steven, you had a screening, right?
Yeah, we did a screening Thursday. We usually do like two of these a year sometimes-ish.
Yeah.
So it's like we do like the big May movie or summer movie, which we decided, we thought between like Guardians, Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. We wanted to do Wonder Woman, obviously, because it's, it's like the biggest. To me, it is. They've made Spider-Man before. They've made a Guardians before.
Right.
And then in the fall, we'll probably do like Star Wars or Thor, but probably Star Wars because I think that'll be the bigger.
But I like Thor more.
I do too, but I'm being outvoted, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was
and
awesome.
And also because Jeff Goldblum is in it.
Seriously.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, we partnered up with Hollywood Boulevard, the fine folks over there, and we did like a theater for tickets we gave away during Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you signed up for our email list, you got entered in to win a drawing, and I think we had like 60 or 70 people, I think, that we got tickets for.
Nice.
So it was one of the smaller.
Theater?
Yeah, it was one of the, you know, Hollywood Boulevard has different size theaters. So we were in the Brown Theater, which I thought was a little fitting. Go Browns.
Oh.
And yeah, it was awesome. It was cool. We had a lot of good buddies and a lot of new faces.
Yeah, it's really cool that you guys do that.
Yeah, it's like a give back to the cool customers and go see a movie with all your buddies.
Yeah. And Lisa and Tina, you guys said you saw it in one of the comfortable theaters.
Where we saw it.
You could fall asleep and not watch it.
I reclined. I was in an awkward little ball, all squished up watching it. It was wonderful. Trying to scribble furiously in the dark all my notes about the movie.
The last movie I saw in one of those theaters was John Wick, and I was just like, I just spent the whole time thinking, I don't want to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep.
The movie was fine. I couldn't tell you what happened. But I could tell you that I spent an hour going, I don't want to get up and go to that. Yeah, they're getting too nice, those theaters. So, all right, just throw it out there. What did everybody think?
You want me to start? I'll start.
Go ahead.
Go.
Because you said you want me to start.
Yes. All right, I'll start. I liked it. For a DC movie, it was amazing. I did not love it. But I liked it.
We decided, for a DC movie, it gets 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
For a Marvel movie, it gets 3 stars.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, I really did like it, mm-hmm. but I think there's definitely some problems. And like a big example is like Professor Ares Lupin.
I didn't know he was in it. I got so excited.
That's,
I was
maybe
waiting for him to say
spoilery, I guess.
Yeah, well, obviously this will be spoilers. Yeah, he's on Fargo right now with Ewan McGregor.
Is he really?
Yeah, David Thewlis.
Yeah,
I love him.
I'm like, he's great in it. When I saw him come up,
I
I'm like,
him.
Oh, I like him.
He's
in
really
everything.
Good. Yeah.
I think he was good, so it was, I wish they just changed his look a little bit, because like Lupin had like a mustache.
Yeah, right? Why did he have this funny little mustache?
He doesn't have a mustache in Fargo.
I don't know.
Because it's the 40s and
he's
British.
It's the 40s and he's British.
No, it wasn't the 40s. It was World War One.
It just was
World
War II.
No, it was World War One.
It was one?
Yeah, it was one. Trenches.
We had the amount of people that were coming out of the theater being like, oh, all those Nazis. I was like, there wasn't a single Nazi.
They were Germans.
They were just Germans. Still evil, but not Nazis.
They were acting like Nazis.
The plane that crashed in the beginning, was a old prop, tiny plane.
Yeah, where they're like open on top, like flying.
You're right, and Wonder Woman was really created like in the before America was in World War II, isn't she? 1940.
Yeah, she's pretty early still. I mean, she's like right after obviously Superman and Batman.
Yeah, Superman's 38, Batman's 39. I think she's 40.
Like 40 or 41.
Yeah,
I
know Green Lantern is also 40.
So she was probably created in a reaction to World War II.
But that's when it was the European War,
right?
Not our war.
I think it's like. Yeah, it doesn't bother me that they said it in a previous war. It's just like the thing with Ares. I like him as a villain. I think he's a good villain, but like he had like electric powers.
Yeah,
he
that
had
was
magnetic
weird.
Powers.
I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Zeus. I mean, I'm like huge into Greek mythology,
right?
So that's why I love Wonder Woman, and that's why Brian Azzarello's run of Wonder Woman is forever my greatest thing I've read, I swear to God. But I kind of was disappointed, one, that they made it so all the other gods are dead. And I know it's a comic book movie, so like obviously people can come back. But they set it up like, oh, Ares is the only one who survived. And it's like, but she's Wonder Woman. She should have the rest of Olympus to like fight with or like hang out with or whatever. And I didn't understand his powers. Since when does the God of War throw lightning bolts?
Yeah, and it just and
that's
then
blatantly
she,
Zeus.
He threw lightning at her, and then she blocked, and then she sent it back at him. And it's like,
I have a theory on this.
What do you got?
Okay, so I was looking at the special effects. So when the movie opens, you kind of see her and all the other Amazons. And initially I was like, wow, they did an excellent job with these.
The mascara
with the scenes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It looked perfect. And then during the fight scene where they're training, it gets really hokey, right? So where it's like, it's obviously a green screen. I know that we still use green screens, but I guess I'm not used to seeing it so blatantly obvious where it looks phony and fake. Like I think green screen technology has probably had some advances. Maybe that just didn't get over to the studio. So what I think...
Warner Brothers?
Yeah. So what I think happened was they put all this money into certain scenes because the level of the special effects was so much better.
Yeah.
And then other ones got kind of sloppy. So I was looking at that fight scene with Wonder Woman and Ares. I'm like, why are they throwing lightning? Why is there fire everywhere? And I was like, oh, because that's cheap.
And almost no background.
Yeah
no background. So you just fill it with smoke and fire and darkness.
Well, that's...
And
that's interesting because we were talking about this the last few weeks. Remember a couple of months ago, all the reports were like, Wonder Woman's a train wreck. It's going to be horrible.
Right.
And then the last couple of weeks, they're like, Wonder Woman is great. And then I was saying, I think on the show last week, I want it to be good, but they were saying it was horrible a couple of months ago. And I remember before Batman vs. Superman came out, they said, oh, it's great. And before Suicide Squad came out, they said, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm like... And when I was watching this, I agree with you guys. I thought it was I told my wife about it because I went by myself just to go see it, and she said, "Well, is it good?" I was like, "It's not the best. It's certainly the best of the DC movies since Nolan." I was like, "It's Thor good."
Like first Thor or second Thor?
First. But I had the same reaction to both Thors when I saw them in the movies.
Okay.
It was like, oh, I like this. This is good. But then when I watched it again,
you find things that you're
and
like
both of them
liking.
I ended up not finishing. Both of them I would turn off halfway through and I'd be like, I'm gonna go clean the bathroom.
you'd rather clean the bathroom than watch
Thor.
I get it. Yeah,
I couldn't go with them to the end, but sitting in the theater, I was fine with it, and it was like pretty good. It was like it's like between Thor and Ant-Man good, but it's certainly not Civil War Avengers.
Mm. Yeah,
good, but. That third act especially, when you're right, there were a lot of things that didn't quite come together. And I was thinking in the theater, you know, I think this was a train wreck 2 months ago.
And
I think they got the editing to a point where it made sense. Because I agree with you, Lisa. It was like some scenes looked great, some scenes looked awful. Like the last fight with Ares looked a lot like the last fight with Doomsday. In Superman versus Batman, where
like
I was
smoke
like, what's going
and there's fire everywhere.
Yeah, it's just dark and lightning
bolts.
And...
I think that's one of the other things that I didn't like about the movie is DC just loves to make everything have this kind of bluish, dark, gritty hue to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the exception of, you know, when they're on the island, all of it. And I know London's dark and dreary and whatever, but I just feel like the whole, once they left the island, the whole movie had this DC feel to it where it's so dark. And I'm like,
it's like they put everything through this like Zack Snyder filter.
Yeah. And right. It's like, yeah. I understand it's World War One. Like, I get that. That's dark. It was the war to end all wars. But it's still Wonder Woman. Like, why does she have to look like, why does everything right. have to look so
I think
dark?
She's the contrast, though, right? So you have Batman in dark colors, and that's Gotham. That's his world. But Wonder Woman is in gold, blue, and red.
Right. But so even was her it a costume gimmick to was just, darker.
Yeah, but was it just a way
but
to make
it was brighter
her seem
than it was
lighter?
In Batman versus Superman.
And the other thing, yeah. one of the producers or somebody did an article that came out before the movie, and he was saying how, like, we couldn't have made a dark Wonder Woman movie. We had to punch it up. And it's like, this is them punching it up. It's like, Jesus. It's like, have you guys seen Guardians of the Galaxy? You know what I mean? It's like neon colors and...
There's purple and pink everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. DC thinks this is their look, and that's how they imply that it's a shared universe. Whereas with Marvel, it's like... It's bright colors and
happiness and sunshine.
Right.
Yeah.
And quippy dialogue. Like, it's hard for Marvel to do something serious at this point because they're like so flip.
Right.
And which is why I think Civil War, I think, is now still my favorite movie because
they did
the stakes are real.
They did it good.
Yeah.
I feel
and mm-hmm. they still had that light tone, but when they went darker with like what happens to Rhodey or the fight at the end, see, look at the stakes you're making.
No,
which only
I love
we
Rhodey.
Can see.
That sound.
I know.
It's
well,
the
I'm
sound. No, it's his face when he realizes nobody is coming to get him.
It's also that impact. Mm.
Yeah,
it's yeah. Rough. But that's why that's the movie that works for me, and Winter Soldier too.
Yeah,
yeah, Winter Soldier had a lot of that
because they can push their tone, and DC's trying to figure out how to push their tone. And I'm going to give them all the credit in the world, especially with how much we've been trashing their movies the last few years. This
I
is
always
a huge
trash their movies.
Step forward.
I agree.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You know what? It's
absolutely.
I don't want to be that guy, but it's just like they lose a lot of points because it took them this long to do it. Yeah. And it's like when she does the whole like Wonder Woman thing for the first time, and she goes up out of the trenches and like she's blocking mm-hmm. the bullets. Like I had goosebumps.
So did I.
I was
I
covered
literally
in
had
goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
And
yes.
that happened repeatedly in this movie. And I think, like, I agree with you. That third act is just a hot mess. And we saw it, you know, with a big group of people sort of stand outside the theater talking about it, and everyone loved it. And I was trying to explain, like, well, that third act, and everyone's like, no, it was awesome. And it's like Ares looked great, and I'm like, what were his superpowers? Because he was like, whatever he needed to do, we could
he
do.
Did,
like, I'm going to make
it,
metal fly. And then the guys were like, no, see, he's the god of war, so he's controlling weapons of war. And
it's like, nah.
And it's like, when you're stretching with these bullshit,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
they...
I had a problem with that scene, too, because I was waiting for it. Like, I didn't know the director was a female, so I was surprised to see that. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm like... They're going to mess it up somehow because it's DC and I'm always disappointed, which is why I didn't see half the last movies. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, Wonder Woman historically comes from the bondage thing, right?
Like William Moulton Marsden's
yeah,
strange guy.
Marsden, the two things that you need to know about him, which don't seem to go together at all, is he invented the lie detector.
Yeah.
And he was really in a bondage.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, he lived with his wife and his mistress all together in the same house.
Yeah, he had, like, a co-wife that he kind of convinced his regular wife to, like, work and support the family so this guy could, like, stay home. And he was a very strange guy.
He was a very, very strange guy. And it took a long time to kind of get that feeling out of it. Because if you look at I used to have the Golden Age Wonder Woman archives. And I don't have them anymore because I didn't want them in my house.
Yeah.
Every single story, she is tied up with her own lasso and spanked.
Yeah, and it's mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of bondage in those comics. And you'd be like, well,
a lot of spanking too.
How much? And it's like, it's almost like every page, they found a way to like get her to get tied up. It's very, those comics are very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... Misogyny, but
yeah.
So the fact that she became a feminist.
But apparently he was a feminist. This like he thought
sure
like
was.
The yeah.
I know people that say that too.
Yeah, me too.
As long as he could spank him.
Yeah, and
well,
tie him up.
I was like, I was wondering, are they going to put that in this movie, right? And I know that if it's a female director, I was like, okay, hopefully she doesn't address that part of the history. Like we've seen it, we've gone through it. Like let's move past it. And then you get to that final fight with Ares, and what does he do? He puts her in bondage, and I was like.
Oh, because he wraps her
in,
like,
wraps
the tank
her in
treads.
That metal. Yeah.
So, oh, right. And she's bonded
when,
to the floor.
When she's laying there seeing Steve blow up.
Yeah.
And right. It's a long, drawn-out scene, so she's processing, like, her feelings for Steve and, like, what happened, what he actually said to her in that scene. And I'm like, that's stupid. Like, that's, I didn't appreciate that scene. And I was just like, why did you have to put her in bondage? Like,
yeah,
there's no other way that you could have, like, taken her out where she gets knocked out.
Or something, or where she's like, she trying to see it
happen.
Yeah.
Because when it happens, she's like, no, and busts through it. I actually didn't see it as bondage because she was completely covered. It wasn't like she was tied up and bent over. Like, she wasn't accessible at all except for her head. So that didn't even occur to me. I'm certainly not.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at it like, eh, I don't know. Like, if I was directing that movie, I would try not to have something that would remind people of this history.
Something that wouldn't wrap her, if like a tank just landed on her.
Right. Like, why couldn't you pin her between a tank and a wall?
Right.
Why couldn't you have rocks fall on top of her?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million other things that you could do that wouldn't involve, you know, metal wrapped around her body.
Right, because you could have, like, dropped a tank or something on her, because there's that great scene where she's in the village, and she literally, there's like the sniper or whatever, and she literally like sees the tank and like picks it up, which was like the coolest thing. I will totally admit
one of the
that.
Posters now,
I like gushed in that moment in the theater. I was like, this is awesome. And she like picks it up and just throws it. Like, you still could have done something like that.
Yeah,
where she's getting ready to throw it, and then she sees, you know, the
It's like the
plane.
Old Spider-Man Dr. Octopus issue. When he's like pinned under the stuff.
Oh, the rubble, yeah.
Yeah, under the river, and he's like, it takes him 6 pages to lift it off.
When she jumps and like demolishes that clock tower.
Oh my god. I mean, that was really cool.
And then she's just standing there.
Yeah, it's like there were some unbelievable visuals in this movie, and it's like that's what bothered me so much, was this like these awesome stuff with the trench fight, and then they go to the city and they liberate the town. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, what is this third act going to look like? I thought she was going to single-handedly stop World War One, and then it's like, no, she's just going to fight a couple German guys in like an airfield on fire. And it's like, what?
Did anybody else like lulls in the theater when it turned out that William Stryker was the bad German guy? Did anybody else?
Oh,
pick that
right.
Up? I literally hit Lisa I was like, oh, it's Stryker. He's going to be a bad guy.
But he's the younger Stryker.
I was thinking he was Ray Wise for like an hour.
He's the Stryker from Origins, I think.
They had the guy, and as soon as he showed up, I'm like, this fucking guy. I mean, that guy's like on the cover of the bad guy book of actors. You know what I mean? It's like, he's always the guy.
That's because Alan Rickman is dead.
Yo.
He's like, all right, I didn't mean to bum everybody out. That happened 2 years ago.
But he
was great, but
he's,
you know, you take off one of your big bad guys, everybody moves up one level. That's what we learned in the evil Star Trek universe.
Yeah, right.
You kill a guy. But I did think when she fought him, I was like, oh yeah, this is what we need right now, because this guy looks like Trump.
Right.
And I was like, this is like the defiant girl statue, because he was like just such a, like, he was such a middle-aged, entitled white guy.
Yeah.
getting beaten up by a woman, and I'm like, this is what a lot of the world needs to see right now.
I just didn't like the visual effects, because his skin would like kind of bloat and then glow, and I'm like,
what was that?
Was he having like
supposed to be like the venom, surging through his body? But it was just, this visual is just not working.
Well, and also that's weird. Where the pacing really broke down, and this movie reminded me of Rogue One a lot, where I was loving Rogue One, and then the third act, I was like, wait, what's going on? Wait, you have to turn off the force field to get through the force field, to climb the thing, to pull out the hard drive, to go up to a satellite, to move the satellite. And, you know, it was obviously like so many...
apparently they haven't invented the cloud or hacking in the Star Wars universe, because like the links they have a go-to to get, it's like everything's still like analog or whatever you call it.
I was okay with that, because it lined up with the original one, where they just had this cartridge that R2-D2 was literally carrying around.
Right.
So I was like, maybe it's like beyond terabytes of data.
Yeah.
Like, there's no T1. I don't know. But it felt like the movie was moving fairly organically to that part. And then just all this stuff was going on.
Well,
and it worked in the end. Like, it didn't wreck the movie, but I felt like maybe the reason that those fights looked so cheap was they were last-minute additions.
That's what I figured.
It seems like
the thing that really bothered me was the two sidekicks don't do anything.
Which,
like, the two other guys...
The Scottish guy and the Native American guy?
And the French guy. Three! I've even forgotten one of them. Is that, like, they're set up, and it's like the Scottish guy from Trainspotting, they're like... He's talking about, like, I'm the greatest marksman in the world, and they ask him to shoot somebody, and he doesn't. They're like, yep, that's what happens sometimes.
And it's
like, why does Chris Pine die when he's the only character in these three?
And
like,
she belongs to Steve Trevor,
like,
forever.
She, like, rescues the other guys, and I'm like, why? it seemed like they were built up to be like the Howling Commandos in,
yeah,
in Captain America mm-hmm. First Avenger, but I feel like all their stuff got cut.
Right.
But they didn't have enough footage to remove them completely, or you'd be like, who's that guy?
And it's like, why, I don't know, it's this, I get why they did it in Captain America with the Howling Commandos. That's like, they threw in more American heroes from comic books, right?
Right.
Who the fuck were all these other guys they made
That's
up?
That's what I wanted to know. I was like, okay, one number
are
one.
Are they Wonder Woman characters?
That's why is question. There a Native American guy in London during World War One?
Right.
Because America took the land from his people, so I he understand was a wanderer.
I think the movie...
That seemed they were reaching
See,
really
I was hoping
far.
One of you would go, oh, well, actually, if you read John Byrne's run, there's this one issue. Like, I'm like, these guys gotta be something.
No,
and no, that, I would have... It would have made more sense to have white gorillas following her around.
It
would have
made awesome sense to have white gorillas following her
around. Great. Am I missing
talking
something?
Like
Gail Simone's run?
Gail Simone's run.
She has talking gorillas?
Yeah.
Are they from Gorilla City?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But they're not
they
evil.
They live with her. So in
as you do.
In the run, like, they... I forget.
I thought she had a minotaur. That, like, a minotaur butler in that run. Or, no, I'm serious.
It sounds like a Dan Slott comic now.
No, it was awesome.
She was living with different creatures. So yeah. It was like the gorillas were, like, her housemates.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so all those guys were, like, made up, I guess, maybe. But I didn't know this. The Dr. Poison, one of my subs, saw the movie with us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of customers and stuff. And I was like, yeah, did they make her up? He's like, no, that's
she's
a golden
real.
Age... That's a golden
oh,
age
really?
Wonder
golden
Woman
age.
Villain.
Yeah, so I was looking at her.
Yeah, because they gave her a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And again,
they didn't make her like the big baddie at the end of the movie.
See,
I'm like,
I was actually not to kill
Dr. Poison?
I was really hoping the whole time, you know, she's fighting Stryker, because I don't remember his name. I'm just going to call him Stryker. So she's fighting Stryker, and I'm like, okay, he's not going to be Ares. It's too obvious. He's not going to be Ares. I was really kind of hoping that it was going to be the chick in the creepy mask, that she was going to be Ares. Because I'm like, that would be awesome.
And that was
Let's
the pacing,
have a female Ares.
That was the pacing problem for me when she was taking out, let's just all call him Stryker now.
Yeah.
When she's taking out Stryker, I'm like, okay, he's powered up. And I was like, this is the end of the movie. And I was like, that ended pretty quickly. Well, also then she killed him. And they kind of stand around talking for a while.
Yeah.
And then like Chris Pine shows up and he's like, I'm going to go fly. You go fly with me. No, I'm not going to go. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go. Which you didn't even need because she could have looked over and he could have been taking off. And I'm like, where are we going now? Because you've killed the person you set up as the villain the whole time, and we're just kind of hanging around until, like, David Dulles just shows up as a reflection in a window, and then she kind of fights Dr. Poison, and then the
well,
big thing
then,
is
and
she
Dr.
takes
Poison
off her mask.
There.
Yeah, so it seemed like they got to that point, and they didn't know who the villain was anymore, and they were like, you know
they
what?
They lost their direction.
Yeah, it's I guess it's another Doomsday fight.
Yeah.
Well, and they didn't end up doing anything with Dr. Poison. Like, Ares is standing there talking about how, oh, look at her, and look at the evil that they... Like, I don't do anything. It's all them. They're the evil ones or whatever. And then nothing happens.
Was...
Like, at all. She just,
yeah,
like, runs away.
She's basically like Arnim Zola in Captain America.
Right.
She's just there to, like, make the evil MacGuffin happen.
They could have made her a better villain because I didn't put two and two together immediately when I was seeing the movie. I'm just like, what's with the goofy face mask? And then it just kind of clicked in my head. Maybe like a third into the movie. And I was like, oh, I remember seeing that cover. There's a cover of her like mixing chemicals and Wonder Woman's like in the background or something. And it's Dr. Poison is the cover. And I remember seeing that cover.
On a Golden Age comic?
And I'm thinking, oh, that's a legit villain. And I obviously don't have those comics, so I haven't read them. But I thought, why don't we have more females in this movie? Yeah. Right? And I know the person out there is going to be like, oh, but she came from a whole island full of women. Yeah, and once she leaves it, how many women are in this movie?
You see Etta
You have
Candy.
Etta, who they downgraded, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Dr. Poison, and then you have the ladies in the village crying about their babies. That is it.
Yeah.
But you're going to give her four useless guys that are going to follow her around for a whole damn movie. Why not make one of them a female? And Tina's point was, well, women couldn't be officers in the army, so that's why Etta couldn't have her
title. And that's
title.
One of the sub-themes in the movie is
so
that everyone's freaked
secretary.
Out that she's just walking around London telling
and
people what to
do. But
then, weren't those
so
four...
So change one of the random people into something else. The four guys who are following her around, three of which who are serving not a whole hell of a lot of a purpose, and we don't know who they are because they seem made up. Why couldn't one of them be a woman?
I think those three guys, the purpose was to include some diversity, so they put in the obligatory tokens, people of color... But why not have one of them a woman? So I think most people are going to say, oh, women couldn't have been officers in the army at that point, and they could have been nurses. However, women used to dress in drag and went to war.
Well, that's
so there are records of women fighting in every war, and then it's discovered when they're dead or, you know, wounded upon their death, wounded, that there was actually a girl dressed in drag fighting in the war.
Well, all those other four people, too, the Indian guy and the Persian guy or whatever, they were all like, yeah, we're outcasts and, you know, we're not really supposed to be here. And they weren't soldiers. They were like mercenaries, essentially.
Yeah, they were.
You couldn't have one of them be a woman mercenary who was breaking the rules and was like, no, I'm here to stop this.
Turn the crazy Scotsman into a crazy Scotswoman.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I liked Etta Candy in this. I think she was really charming.
Yeah,
she was. It was very much in tune with her character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's always great. I'm blanking on her name, but that was Dawn from the original Office.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
She was the Pam in the British version.
Yeah.
And she's always great. She has a really small role in Shaun of the Dead, where she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's like running the other group that is actually surviving pretty well.
Right, right.
So, I didn't even realize that.
She's always, always great. So she makes the most of her. You know what? She's like Chris O'Dowd in Thor Dark World.
Chris O'Dowd's
hilarious, and he gets like one blind date with Natalie Portman, which seems completely improv.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious, and then he is gone.
Right.
Yeah, she did serve as the small comic relief. And
right.
Which DC obviously struggles with.
I did appreciate some.
But at least they put one in.
They did. So good job, guys. Gold
I did
star.
Appreciate some of the humor. Because when she meets Wonder Woman, she's explaining like what her role is. And she's like, oh, I serve, you know.
I go where he needs me to go and I do what he needs me to do.
And she's like, that sounds like a slave to me.
Yeah. I like her.
And I got to say, Gal Gadot, or however you say her name, she's, when she got cast as Wonder Woman, I was like, what the fuck? Like, who is this girl? Like, this girl needs to eat a sandwich. In this movie and in she's definitely the best thing in Batman vs. Superman. In this movie, I was floored. I couldn't believe how good she was.
I will 100%, like, I was very against it. I still think we needed somebody who was a little bulkier. I mean, she's an Amazon.
But you know, she's 5 months pregnant in this movie, and she
Are you serious?
She was pregnant during it.
And she's way less skinny. She's a lot fuller.
But Donald Trump can't go to war because of a bone spur and a foot he can't remember which one. Fuck you.
He's tired.
No, but I will.
But I thought she was perfect in this role.
Yes, like, no, I will completely say I think she did a phenomenal job. I think her first coming into like our world and exploring London and just seeing things like that was
the thing with the ice cream.
You should be so proud.
Well, that's it. And the funny thing about that moment, that is a Geoff Johns moment from Jim Lee Justice League. And they did that moment in the animated version,
but it
landed with a thud.
It was awful. Well, we maybe talked about this, or maybe we were talking at the store. That movie's terrible, that Justice League War.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's based off a shit story, and it's a shit movie. And the problem with that scene with the ice cream is, like, they do it with Thor, they do it with Wonder Woman, the person that comes from a completely alien culture and comes to our world and is blown away
like
by
Thor smashing the coffee cups in the diner.
Yeah.
His mortal form is weak.
And that stuff is great. In the animated movie when they did it, she gets like ice cream, she tastes it, and then she like pulls out her sword and like waves it like right in the guy's face. It's like, she's not a psychopath.
Right.
Okay.
You're making
she
her one.
She knows the swords for violence.
But it's a throwaway line.
I always remember
I was reading an interview with Joss Whedon where, you know, Joss Whedon did a draft of the first X-Men movie, uncredited.
Okay.
And he said, they cut out everything that I wrote except for two lines. And he said, which lines? He goes, the best line and the worst line. And he said, which one's that? He goes, well, I wrote...
the toad getting struck by lightning? Is it
that
one?
That's the worst, yeah. And he said, that was written to be a throwaway line. And then in the movie, Halle Berry's like... Do you know what happened? She's
such
like basically the Fox 90s storm at that moment.
Yeah.
When a toad gets hit by light. And he goes, I wrote that. And I also wrote Cyclops saying, prove you Wolverine, you're a dick.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the right way to throw that line. And then, of course, but that's all in the execution. Because you have Halle Berry, who is Halle Berry. Yeah. And then you have James Marsden, who is like on 30 Rock at the last season. Of 30 Rock. He knows how to tell a joke. And it was the same thing, was that animated version thought it would be funny to like build that moment up, but it's a little throwaway moment.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's exactly the way they did it in this movie. And I was like, oh my God, this moment, I've seen this moment 3 times. And that totally worked.
Well, because you can see her, like, she looks at it, she's like, oh, I don't know what this is. And then she tastes it, and you can see it in her face. She's oh my God.
She's doing a lot of subtle acting.
Yeah.
She is.
For a superhero movie, and especially considering... in Batman vs. Superman, she was just basically walking around.
They didn't give her, like, shit to do in that movie.
No, and she's supposed to have that same kind of turn in Batman vs. Superman where she, like, gets on the plane and she's leaving Metropolis, but then she sees they're fighting and she gets off the plane and joins a fight. And in that movie, you don't know why the fuck she did that. I'm like, why did you waste everyone's time to get on this plane?
No, that movie's
you
garbage.
You saw that in the airport, but it was all, but it was also the way she was directed. And in this movie showed me she can do everything that Wonder Woman needs to do.
Because, like I said, she was super funny with the ice cream and she's trying to fight in, like, the old-timey
clothes. Yeah.
But then, you know, when she's confronting the horrors of war and she's, you know, freaking out about the kids and the women and the children and everything, it's like, I totally bought in that every emotion that girl was trying to show.
She makes you want to get up and do something. She's like, how can you just stand there? It's women and children. And she's so, like, passionate about it.
And the
as she should be because she's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a big part of, you know, they didn't just pick a pretty face and a hot body to play Wonder Woman because this girl can really act. But a couple times throughout the movie, she was giving these, like, semi speeches or whatever you want to call them about, like, look, we have to stop the guy. We have to stop the war. You know, you're just what kind of general sits in a room and tells young men to die?
Yes, that was awesome. I loved
those
that
kinds of, like, lines and dealing with, like, that level of, like, philosophy is really important, I think. And, you know, they handle it great. And the best Wonder Woman comics handle it where she's not just ready to go to war all the time. She is a peaceful person, you know. And
she's burdened by the choices.
Because
and
she's the only one that has the abilities and everything. Yeah. And, you know, George Perez's Wonder Woman run in the 80s was kind of what I was hoping this movie would look more like, because Ares is the big villain at the start of that run. And, you know, like I said, it's just like that to me was the worst part of the movie, but Gal Gadot did such an awesome job that it brought the whole movie up. But I agree with your initial rating of, like, well, for a DC movie, this is a 5.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I think one thing that I noticed right away that kind of, I wasn't surprised by it, but we were talking about just her look, right? So we both agreed, like, if she was maybe
like
built
huskier.
Yeah, yeah, just like it, like built, you know, kind of big in stature, because sometimes depending on who's drawing Wonder Woman, she's actually taller than some men.
Yeah,
she's
Darwin
an Amazon
did it.
By definition.
Yeah,
she should be huge.
Right.
So I was kind of disappointed that they didn't do that, and I really think it's about society that you can't have people crossing gender lines, right?
Yeah.
So you can't have men that are effeminate and you can't have women that are masculine, because then
it's scary.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, but then again, a lot of that comes down to casting, because I think that's the same decision they made when they cast Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, because I remember having a conversation with my cousin when the first movie came out, and he was like, yeah, I like that movie a lot, but Wolverine's supposed to be 5'2". And that guy's like 6'1". I was like, well, you just told me you don't want Hugh Jackman to be Wolverine. Do you not want Hugh Jackman to be Wolverine? He's like, no. So it's like, you hire the best actor for that role, and
but I think
if they happen
still
to be taller or shorter, you can live with that.
It's still about society, though, because people don't respect a short man.
Yeah, I agree that.
Hey.
No,
they don't. They don't.
I think
weight is to women as height is to men. Right.
And
so people don't respect, won't get behind and think that a 5'1" guy can take out everybody.
Yeah. And to be fair, when he was consistently drawn as 5'1", he was not the lead of the X-Men.
Right. Cyclops was.
Because he doesn't look, quote unquote, like a leader, because leaders are 6'2" or taller.
Right.
So
it wasn't until he started getting his own books.
Yeah. So I think people are looking, oh, it's Wonder Woman, it's a women-led movie,
yeah, a lot
you have
of,
a female director,
a lot of
you have
people
a female
have been
lead.
Saying that, like, oh, we finally have this woman-led
bullshit
movie, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but that
it's
doesn't
still
make
catering
it the greatest
to
thing
the
ever.
Patriarchy, because you have, what was that scene at the end of the movie where you noticed her skirt?
Oh,
like the
very
skirt,
end.
It was like,
yeah, the
cut
skirt
up
was a little excessive.
Way high.
It's towards the end after she's battling Ares, and she kind of stands up and the camera's behind her. And I honestly thought that her butt cheeks were going to hang out of the bottom because the skirt was so short and back. Luckily, Gal Gadot has a small butt, I'm assuming, because otherwise it would have hung out. And I just kind of thought, like, okay, I understand the armor. I get it. Okay, whatever. Why did the skirt have to be that short?
Yeah.
Anybody seen Xena?
The cut
like
of it in
her
the front.
Skirt, she still had, you know, a sexy, you know, kind of female armor thing, but it was longer.
Xena's awesome.
Xena's fucking amazing. That is forever one of my favorite things.
Xena, I think Lucy Lawless looks better now.
She's looked great for like 20 years.
She got jacked for that role too. Like, But that I think is that, more believable.
That body type is, I guess, what I was thinking in my head for like Wonder Woman.
Zena. Yeah. Right. You picture Lucy
Lawless.
Why
wasn't Lucy Lawless in this movie?
Yeah.
I mean,
she's on Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh my God, she totally
things.
Should have been on the Amazon Island. Like 100%.
It would have been a cool cameo. You know what?
Actually, I did like the casting on the Amazon Island.
No, they
Island.
Did.
I did like seeing...
Although,
Robin Wright was awesome.
Robin Wright, which is hilarious because, well, she's in House of Cards now, so it's not like we haven't seen Robin Wright. But I just showed Ben... I just showed Ben Forrest Gump for the first time because like a Forrest Gump joke came up and he's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's just Tom Hanks movie. And it was on Netflix. So we're watching it. And I was watching Robin Wright and then I was like, oh my God, Jenny is a horrible person.
Yeah.
She's the opposite of like any feminist cause.
No, she's the worst
she
ever.
She is the worst. And I was like, look, I've had my own dating trials and tribulations, but I would have been done with Jenny when she was singing folk music in the strip club, and then when I told her I was going to Vietnam, and then she just got in a she just hitchhiked in a car that showed up next to her. I'd be like, I'm never gonna see you again.
Bye.
And if I was Forrest Gump at that point, and I'm on the Washington Monument, and she runs across the pond, I'd just be like. Ah, Jenny. I just walked the other way. But it was cool to see her so strong. And it's nice when these people that have had these long careers decide to do these movies. And they know their career's not going to explode because they're not the lead. It's mm-hmm. like Glenn Close in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like a bit part. Yeah,
It's pretty much
she
a bit part. But they put everything into it.
Well, yeah, I think that was, she was believable. She had a look of like a warrior.
The only thing that I was disappointed of, which I was talking to Lisa about on the way home from the movie, was when, I don't remember how you say her name, but the big warrior on the island, Diana's mother's sister.
Robin Wright.
That's Robin Wright. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, whatever her name is on there.
Yeah, I was trying to remember it, and it was like a very Greek
name.
It's
something
that
with
I was
an
like,
I believe. Yes. But when she showed up, there was this, I picked up on it, it could just be me, but there was this like weird kind of subtle tension. And I was mm-hmm. hoping and praying that it was going to be like her mother's lover as opposed to the mother's sister.
Maybe it was at one point.
Well, that it's
no,
still,
I think
maybe
they
this
say
movie
it
went
was
through
an
a lot
aunt.
Of changes.
No, they well, yeah, maybe. But because I mean, then they say that it's like her sister or whatever, so that's her aunt.
Maybe they
but
changed the role.
They could have, right. But yeah. I was just like, oh, are we actually going to do it? Are we going to admit that they're obviously
that
an island of women, and they specifically say that you don't need a man for pleasure,
right?
Yeah,
you need him for reproduction. It's like, come on, just give me
you guys
one
are
little,
right there.
Little thing.
That and the thing that this is the problem with these movies is there's so many other comic book movies you can compare it to, like, oh, if they do something like this or this or this. And the one thing I thought for sure was going to happen in this movie that actually is a really big disappointment is Linda Carter didn't get a cameo in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was at the premiere.
She's on Supergirl, though, playing the president.
Right, and I think that's awesome.
But they invited
her
to the premiere. There were pictures of her and Gal Gadot
and
together, and they're
that's
hugging.
That's why I thought, I was like, oh, she has to be in this movie. She was at the premiere, and it's like that she Mm-mm. couldn't have been Hippolyta, yeah. or she couldn't have been...
Just in the background, like, just on the island somewhere.
Something. And
yes, I was just watching the Ed Norton Hulk again, which I hadn't seen in a long time.
Right.
And, oh... by the way, I found a piece of trivia that I never noticed before.
Yeah, you posted this.
When,
I did not see
when
it.
When Bruce Banner goes to New York, there's a shot of Manhattan. Stark Tower is under construction. And it goes up to the floor where it has like the A.
Yeah.
And the A is not there.
Well, because it originally said Stark on it. So
it
like,
say,
doesn't have any
it,
of the letters.
It doesn't have any of the letters. They're not up to that floor yet, but it's the shape of that
see,
tower.
I never
so
saw
they,
that.
So they had that long-term.
Ooh, yeah.
I never saw because I was... Honestly, when they showed it, I was like, oh, and that's right where Avengers Tower is. Wait, it's actually there. But there is like a Lou Ferrigno cameo in
right.
that where they give him a little moment and it's just, and I smile every time.
Yeah, it's like that stuff to me is really charming. It's
you
like
should,
when.
I mean, you're paying tribute to who came before you.
Yeah, you got to like, do that. And it's like the 90s Flash.
That's the only
reason. Yes,
yeah.
I love him.
It's Jay Garrick. And it's just like,
every
yes.
time he comes on, I'm just like, yay.
It's like, I love stuff like that. And
Linda Carter was really the only other Wonder Woman. There was a Kathy Crosby TV movie.
Right, but more than that, Linda Carter made Wonder Woman like a household name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That show was huge. And I get, you know, it's corny or whatever and the spinning and the effects or whatever, but it's like, that show had a huge cultural impact. And it's like, it's just kind of a shame that the first time Wonder Woman's on the big screen, it's like you didn't bring the person that she was a stepping stone to get this to happen,
right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it just feels like she kind of got left out,
yeah.
And I was like really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I think one other thing I noticed about like the costumes, when you're looking at that fight scene, I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I liked the choreography of all the fight scenes and stuff. Tina didn't really like the slow motion.
Yeah, the weird kind of that I feel like was for like 3D crap, where like she's fighting and then all of a sudden it goes like slow motion.
Oh, she jumps and hits the guy out the window.
I thought it was awesome. It's super distracting.
And the 3D wasn't great. Like
I saw 3D.
I saw 3D just because it was playing that. Like I literally walked in the movie theater and I was like, when's the next Wonder Woman? They were like, the previews are still running for the 3D. I was like, all right. But honestly, it was like, I still have a hard time focusing.
I do too.
It's like, we were talking about earlier about the
why do we still do this?
Computer graphics. I had to change my seat.
I was like sitting close up where I was like, everything was blurry.
Yeah. Mm. But like, even like Lisa was talking about like the computer effects. And it's like, just because we have the technology to do a thing doesn't mean we should do a thing. Because remember, we were talking about an alien.
Isn't that what Jeff Goldblum told everybody at Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wisdom. Words of wisdom.
But the idea is like, in the same thing with the Alien movie we just saw, is like there was plenty of opportunity for them to use practical effects in that movie.
Right.
And then instead they were like, nah, just do it in a computer. And it's like, fuck, the Alien in the first movie in the 80s looked 10 times better than the Alien in the last movie.
Right. That was like, I remember Wolverine Origins, which is one of the worst superhero movies.
I love that movie because it's so bad.
It's so bad.
I've only ever seen the unfinished cut that they like leaked. Michael had it, our brother, and that's the only way I've ever seen that movie, and I never want to see it completed because it looks like a dumpster fire.
I was going to Silver Age Comics in Astoria, which I've mentioned on the show a few times, and they had gotten a hold of it, and I was like, well, how is it? And they all just like looked like someone had died.
Yeah.
They were just like, they were like, you don't want to see
it. It's one of those movies that if I'm scrolling through and I see that it's on, I will put it on and just laugh. Because it's so bad, but I love it because it's so bad.
But the scene where he discovers his claws and then chops up a sink.
A sink and a toilet, I think.
The claws are like so obviously CG.
Yes, they're huge, number one. They never look that big, I feel like, in any of the other ones.
No, but also I'm like, but you did practical claws 3 times already.
Right.
This is something you know how to do.
Right.
Why are you just not doing them right?
I don't know. It's got to come down to cost or, you know, time or something.
Maybe.
But I think the only thing I did like when they did slow the camera down was that it gave me an opportunity to kind of take in the whole scene. So I wasn't necessarily looking at the main focus. I was looking at everything around. And I started looking at the armor these women were wearing. Why do their chest plates look like Wonder Bras? Can anyone explain to me why they have
Because they all
kind of
look like the Wonder Woman costume.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. No.
Her mother,
I reject that. No, it's
that
bullshit.
I
get that.
Yeah.
The headband's okay.
I'm not defending it. I'm explaining it.
What I'm saying is that was offensive then. It's still offensive now. It's not practical for warfare. If I'm going to go fucking fight in a war, I'm going to wear something like Xena would wear. Yes, because I can't draw my sword across my chest to slice or stab somebody because my fucking tit's going to get in the way.
Wait,
you flatten that shit out. That's why we have sports bras. Why are they pointy bras? Why?
Didn't the Amazons, maybe this isn't real, didn't they cut their tits off?
Yes, no, that is actually a story from, John's like losing it over
there. I'm sorry.
No, I got it. I believe that's one of the stories from mythology is that they would...
That's like the left breast.
They would cut it off. Yeah,
to shoot arrows.
Just so your arm wouldn't get in the way.
I thought it was for archers.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was for Archer.
That was also in Why the Last Man. The Amazons in Why the Last Man
Brian
did that.
Brian K. Vaughan. You know how to write women. Thank you.
Right. And that's the thing. We did this whole like women's panel at the store over the weekend as part of this like big Wonder Woman weekend we were doing. And that's the thing we talked about was they had a woman direct the Wonder Woman movie. And they've got, I don't know the director's name, but he's an African-American director who's directing Black Panther. He's the guy that did Creed.
Well, this director, Patty Jenkins, was supposed to direct Dark World.
Oh, really?
She was the original director
on
Thor Dark World.
She only did, like, one movie. She did Monster. And then she did a bunch of TV stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And people were trying to use that. They were like, she's only made one movie and they let her make a superhero movie. I was like,
But that one movie was
huge,
up for a lot of awards.
But so did Joss Whedon. Right. It was that doesn't really distinguish her.
Yeah, it doesn't
DC needs to let more women direct movies and maybe they wouldn't turn out like garbage.
I think a female directing Captain Marvel?
That I don't know. I hope so. It's like the point.
See,
I was
and that,
making
that's the
is,
thing. I'm really excited to see how Captain Marvel turns out because that's
yeah,
Marvel's,
that's Marvel's
like,
take
shot
on it. Yeah,
female led,
and that's
gonna be awesome.
And Brie Larson is also like really well known as a very strong actress. Right? Mm-hmm. Like Gal Gadot, we didn't know who she was.
Right.
Brie Larson has.
She did an awesome job.
Brie Larson has an Oscar going into Captain
so,
Marvel.
So yeah. Gal Gadot is she's Israeli, I think.
Yes.
And I guess there's a I don't know what country it is that they refuse to show the movie because she's Israeli. Did you
is
guys
it
hear
Palestine?
About this?
Maybe it's Palestine.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Lebanon, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Palestine's like Israeli controlled area. It's like I can't remember the name of the country, but it's something in the Middle East, and they wouldn't show the movie because she's Israeli. And then like, you know, we talked maybe last week or something about that controversy of like, well, these like women only screenings that the Alamo Theater was doing in Texas and all these boys
got
cried like
a bunch
of bitches.
Yeah.
And it's like,
which is hilarious. Cause those are all the same ones that said they didn't want to see it.
Yeah, well, they
I
were.
Think
this,
it was, I think it was
Elliot made the joke about female Ghostbusters.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. All the people that are complaining, they can't see Wonder Woman. Early are the same ones that didn't want to see
it. But it wasn't even early. You know what I mean? It wasn't like an early screening or that it was exclusive only across the country that it was only going to be. It's like, just fucking.
It's a couple
of
days.
Grow the fuck up. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Bitches. Bitches.
We don't have enough problems that this is.
Seriously. And that was in the news for like 3 or 4 days. And meanwhile, it's just like $1 billion arms
meanwhile,
deal.
Meanwhile, the world
went
is burning around
yeah,
you.
Right. What do you mean with Saudi Arabia? It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, it's like I said, I think it's like for DC, they knocked it out of the park. For mm-hmm. a regular right. superhero movie, it fell into a lot of the same tropes or whatever you want to call it.
It's okay. And, will I watch it again? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll watch
yeah.
it again. Am I
but
gonna
that
put
third
it
act,
on?
I'm
like,
going to tune
I'll probably
out.
Probably buy it.
Well, you know what's really dumb in this? When the evil bad guys are like meeting with all the other Germans and they're like, we're going to, they throw like a poison bomb in the room and then they shut the door and they're
yeah.
giggling.
Yeah, and
they're
like,
giggling.
They're at the glass and like the Dr. Poison or whatever, she's like, just like,
it was like,
it was so over
there
the top.
There was a lot of corny
yeah,
aspects
was,
in this
it,
movie.
As soon as it happened, it felt like, Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey running around giggling. Do you know what I mean? It was like that level of like silly, like kooky villain. Like, oh, we double crossed our own
things at DC never change.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing is like we've talked before on the show or maybe at the shop or wherever. Is that typically in these movies, the villains are shit. They never get a good villain. We've had two good villains in like the last 10 years. We've had Loki and we've had the Joker.
Loki is everything. Yeah.
Right? And you could argue for a couple other guys.
I argue for Jeff Bridges in Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
You can never
Tony
bring him back.
Stark was able to build this right. cave
and
out of a box of scraps.
There's like varying degrees, but like no one.
I think we said it on the show. My favorite line that Jeff Bridges says in the entire movie of Iron Man 1 is puzzle.
No, that's great. My absolute favorite.
The paper from Pepper.
My favorite quote of him in the entire movie is the box of scraps is a classic. Right. But the one I really like is he's just like he's like, are you gonna show me what you're working on downstairs? No. All right, have a slice of pizza. Go on, take two. He's like, this is coming back with me. The whole thing with the pizza gag.
Yeah,
that's great. But what I'm saying is like
there was a meme going around. One of the hashtags was like ruin a movie quote. You know, like, like one of those at midnight things where like you make a movie quote worse, and mine was Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps. That's really difficult, so don't beat yourself up about it.
But the point is that the villains are always shit, and with this mm-hmm. this villain was just like complete garbage. And it's like, you know, Dr. Octopus wasn't
Which
bad
one?
In Spider-Man 2. Well, that's exactly
that's
it's
what
like,
I'm saying. I'm like,
it's like
who are you
Iron,
talking about?
It's like Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 has the worst villain problem of any Marvel movie. Because you have one who is played as a comic relief, and the other one who's
Sam
played
Rockwell's,
as a henchman.
Sam Rockwell.
And there's
great
no like mastermind in the center. They're both supposed to be the mastermind,
right.
But neither one is.
Well, I think part of it is you got away from development of the villains. So I think there's been
I
a
feel
shift
like there,
in superhero movies.
There was
movies
no development
where,
of these two.
Well, I think three. If you look back at the first Batman, you develop a little bit of Batman's backstory, and you get the development of the Joker. We
yeah,
see
like
how
the,
Jack Nicholson
becomes... The Tim
becomes,
Burton movies are only about the
Batman. Right. And so I think people took Tim Burton and they flipped it on its head and say, well, that's too much focus on these villains, and it got hokey with, like, Jim Carrey, because you saw him develop, you saw Tommy Lee Jones. So they moved away from it, so now that they've removed it completely, it's all about the superhero, and now you don't get a well-developed villain. But I think if they made Dr. Poison the villain... You know, like, it just got too convoluted.
Well,
where you have three people, and Ares, he was in the movie for such a short amount of time. Right. I'm like,
I feel like they could have done a lot more with
Aries. They talked about him the whole movie. So I think it was one of those where it was supposed to be the big reveal.
But it didn't
I did like Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
No, but I'm not saying that they don't do decent villains. I'm just saying they never develop.
But there's not a lot of them.
There's not a lot of them, and there's not a lot of development. And, the same thing with Dr. Poison. I get why they had to use Ares, too, because it's like Wonder Woman has to fight somebody at the end of the movie. She can't fight Dr. Poison. She's just like a scientist.
And she already fought Stryker.
See, that's why it would have been good if Dr. Poison was Ares.
Right, and that would have been cool. I just think it's
my thought was like, we were watching this movie, and then you see the old guys, like, talking about the peace and kind of the politics. And I'm looking at Lupin and I'm like, there's your bad guy.
Yeah,
and
Doug called it too.
I didn't catch it.
He's off. There's something about him. I'm like, he's a werewolf, be the bad one. Guy. Yeah. Because now every movie is so formulaic that there has to be a big reveal of who the villain is because he can't be the obvious guy.
Right.
That now I can pick out with, Of course it's Lupin.
And if you go back to like the Tim Burton Batman, that first half an hour is how Jack Nicholson becomes the Joker. It's not like, oh my God, Jack Nicholson was the Joker all along. Or Dark Knight.
But Heath Ledger
is the first guy you see in that movie.
Yeah. People consistently rate Jack Nicholson's Joker as one of the best villains. People also argue for Heath Ledger, which I'm cool with.
It's hard to screw up the Joker unless you're Jared Leto.
But if you look at, I didn't hate his Joker. But if you look at Batman.
Did you like it?
The original Batman.
I thought it was okay. I liked it better than Heath, actually.
Really?
I feel like, and this is probably horrible and people are going to hate me, but I feel like if Heath hadn't died, people wouldn't make such a big deal about his Joker.
Agreed.
I think
100%.
If he hadn't died, he would not have won the Oscar. And I think he did go a completely different way.
Was it good? Yes. Is it the greatest thing ever? Absolutely not.
The thing with Heath Ledger's Joker is he goes so far into a direction that no one's ever done. That you can't say he nailed the Joker.
Right, because it's not the Joker.
It's a very, he did a different character.
Yes. Yeah, and so that's why I get upset when they're like, oh, he's the greatest Joker ever. I'm like,
there's a lot of like Wolverine-isms on that in the sense of like, Wolverine's a cool character, but Wolverine fans ruin Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Keith Ledger's the Joker.
Yes.
And he did a great job as the Joker, but because he died, and I think he's like on t-shirts
so
and billboards,
people
and
made
people
this
do with
huge
the costume.
Deal about it.
I would say that about The Dark Knight
thing.
As a movie.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite of those three.
Agreed.
No. Right. I think Batman Begins is the best of those three
movies.
It's a
better Batman movie.
Because that one's actually about Batman.
Right.
The other two aren't. I still argue Tim Burton's Batman is the best.
Love Bane, though.
Fucking hate
I love Bane.
Stupid fucking voice.
The movie's a little all over the place.
I hate it.
I love Tom Hardy's Bane.
As soon as he started talking, I just sat so confused.
And that was a corrective voice.
This is going to be a joke. Like, it's the thing. It's going to get better. It never got better.
They
and
changed
I got angrier
it and it got worse.
And angrier and angrier.
Well, the thing about that
He's South American.
The thing about that, well, that's number one.
Yeah,
The thing about that voice is I think he made that voice knowing that it was going to be so layered with effects that he was over-enunciating so the words would come through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then that first trailer came out where it was all affected and people were like,
I can't understand
a word he's saying. And Nolan was like, good. And then the studio was like, no, you can't have a main character who's unintelligible. So I think they just took the effects off and they didn't have Tom Hardy re-record that.
Which
stuff.
They should have
done. Yeah, they really should.
But I like it because it's weird.
Yeah.
In the same way I like Ben Kingsley being the Mandarin.
Oh my God.
I'm like, that's just so weird.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
It's like vaguely awkward to watch.
I like when movies do not do the thing I expect. I hate it when, and I see this with every movie, I hate it when fans go, I hated that movie because I wanted it to be this and this and it didn't do it. I'm like, that's not a movie's job. A movie's job is not to custom make exactly what you want. It's supposed to tell you a story, and a story is supposed to have surprises in it.
And I think that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, I think the first Batman by Tim Burton is good because it doesn't play, it's not
that's
gimmicky.
My Batman.
It doesn't do a big reveal.
And
it's
my
like,
Joker.
Hey, here's the villain, here's the good guy, here's what's going to happen. And then it's got clever quips and lines.
Let's get nuts.
But I think now people are so used to a big reveal that they think every movie has to have that has to be part of the formula.
I think that comes from Batman Begins.
But now it does.
Because you thought Ken Watanabe was Ra's al Ghul in the beginning of that movie.
Right, but now you're convoluting the whole story to where now you have three villains. No one knows what the fuck is going on and who's... And then it's this big disappointment. Like, really? That's Ares? Come on. It gets to be too much. Just go back to simple, straightforward, and you'll have a better movie. Why do you got to play games?
Well, it's like Civil War. The weakest, as I was saying in the show, how much I love Civil War, the weakest thing about it is Baron Zemo. Mm-hmm. Baron Zemo's just like, my family died in Age of Ultron. And like,
and I'm just angry about it.
It just so deflates. But
another shit villain.
But the thing is, Civil War is really about Captain America versus Iron Man. Yeah. So you can forgive that as a subplot.
But I think if you look at the Thor movies, the best thing in the Thor movies is Loki.
Right.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so
Idris. Let's be honest.
Okay, that's me. But yeah, most people.
What has he done in those two movies?
He's looked magnificent.
He does more in Age of Ultron than he does in Age of Thor.
He is beautiful and wonderful.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree.
Does more in Star Trek Beyond, and no one saw that movie.
Of airtime.
You wait, what?
He only has like 30 seconds of airtime.
But he's still amazing. He's fucking Idris Elba.
He's in Star Trek Beyond for 45 minutes and he punches Chris Pine in the face for 10 of them. And no one bothered to see that movie.
I feel
movie.
Like I now need to see that movie.
That movie is fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, then I need to watch it.
I just rewatched it. I've been converting everything to my Apple TV. It's really solid. It's like, it's like Men in Black, where the first one's great, the second one is horrible, and then the third one's really good, but nobody noticed.
What did you guys think of Chris Pine as Steve Rogers?
I now love Chris Pine as Steve Rogers.
Sorry.
He's not bad.
Chris Evans wants to leave, make him Chris Pine.
Just throw another Chris in there, move around.
Chris Pratt had a thing, Chris Pratt hosted Saturday Night Live, and his monologue were how to tell the Chris's
apart.
Yes,
that was so funny.
And he had like a big standee of like Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Chris Pine.
I don't hate him. I like him. I love him as Kirk. I think he's a great Kirk in those movies because Kirk's supposed to be kind of a dickhead.
Okay.
But this guy, he's a dickhead. That's my problem.
I didn't think he was a dickhead.
No, I
also give him extra points in Star Trek.
I don't like
Trek
the guy either.
Because how do you do Captain Kirk and not do Shatner?
Right. That's
he
thing.
Does it.
He pulled it off. And I think
and
with
I saw that when he was playing Steve Trevor, but I didn't buy him as Steve Trevor.
Yeah, and no. I think that's it.
See, I'm not as big a Wonder Woman fan. Where in my mind Steve Trevor is Nathan Fillion from the animated movie that Gail Simone wrote.
Yeah, and he's
and that's the only Steve Trevor I really have in my mind. So I was just like, let Chris Pine be Chris Pine.
I don't have another like alternate like who should have played the role. I think like someone unknown could have done a good job. It's just like I have a very I have an idea of what Steve Trevor is in my head, and he fell short of that.
I said you love Steve Trevor.
I do.
There's an article.
Well, if Wonder Woman's not going to be with a woman, then she should be with...
It's a woman or Steve. That is it.
That's it.
No one else. There,
that's how I feel.
It's kind of like Barbie. You have Ken or nobody.
Or nobody.
Or just other girls that kind of look
There was
like
an article I'll try to find to send you, and it was what to do with Steve Trevor. And it was an article that talked about the history of the character and how they have a hard time figuring out what to do with him because they have a hard time figuring out what to do with a female-led superhero book. And it's like,
you
okay,
don't know what to do.
Yep, I agree.
If a man is not in control.
I agree. I think it's insane. But it was this article about all the different things
because
they
tried. Because it emasculates men. I'm going to create a new term. Can I? I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to do
Here
this.
Here we go.
I'm going to coin male fragility.
Yeah.
I'm going to work. It's a theory.
But basically,
like they didn't know what to do with Bill Clinton when it looked like Hillary was going to win.
Right.
Like, but you're president? You're still going to live here?
They get so weird about it.
He was just going to party in the background.
Why can't you write it and just flip the roles? Why can't you have Wonder Woman can try to protect Steve and he says, no, I want to help you and constantly blundering and, you know, you can make it a funny role.
Right.
Or you can make it kind of him struggling with, you know, but I should protect you because he's supposed to be kind of like a...
this old world view of gender roles.
Right. So like, I'm the male, I should protect you. But he can have kind of a crisis and just not be a dick about it.
Like Big Barda and Mr. Miracle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great relationship.
I love Big
that
Barda.
Is written
Big
well.
Barda
that's a relationship
everything.
That works.
But yeah, this whole article talked about that from the 75 years, all the different things they've tried to do with that character to make it work. Up until like recently where it's like, well, he's like the liaison to the Justice League because he's...
Oh, yeah.
All right,
they
know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah,
it is. And that's what I'm saying is they have a really hard time with that character because...
Well, he's like Rick Jones where it's just they have such a hard time with him. They've made him do everything to the point where if you try to look at him as
Rick
a character...
Jones history is insane. Yeah.
You know
if
what
you try
would
to look
solve
at like
this problem?
Rick Jones' biography, you're like, what is wrong with you? How are you a rock star and half a superhero?
You're right.
There's a real easy solution here. You have women write Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I agree.
Or I will accept two men. You can also have Brian Azzarello write Wonder Woman.
Love him.
Or Greg Rucka.
Love him,
Phil Jimenez gets it.
Eh.
Phil draws it.
He's right.
No, but he does co-writing too. I think he understands the character, I think.
You have to have someone who understands the perspective of a minority group.
Phil Jimenez is queer.
And yeah, right, he is. But I think, I don't know talent level, you know.
Yeah.
He's not as seasoned as the other two, so I think like Rucka gets it, Rucka understands, and I think Gail Simone does in Azzarello. Azzarello understands the mythology.
And by the way, apparently both Craig Rucka and Gail Simone love the two of you. Because you have these wonderful C2E2 stories about them.
God, I love it.
Lisa had a moment with Greg Rucka this past C2E2, and my frozen heart thawed, and I almost cried.
It was good.
I always think one of your conversations should end, you should do this podcast. Yeah. That's how Greg Rucka and Gail Simone
would come cards.
On.
Yeah, I mean,
send them around with business
cards. Well, we're at an hour, and I feel like we've really gone into this movie at every angle, but the last question I want to ask of people is, how do you feel about DC movies now moving forward? We talked last week about Joss Whedon finishing Justice League. Matt Reeves is who did the last Planet of the Apes, which I really liked, is going to do Batman. So we know what the next few movies are. How confident are you about these movies now seeing Wonder Woman?
I am cautiously optimistic.
That's cute.
Wait. Except when it comes to Batman, everything's going to be horrible. That's my viewpoint. So Ben Affleck is not my Batman.
They're big.
Fuck that guy. He's misogynistic too.
I have no faith in their ability to pull this off more than once. I cannot wait to be proven wrong. I hope if they do a sequel to Wonder Woman, it's great. Hopefully better than the first, which I thought was still good. I think the rest of these movies are just going to be a big train wreck. I think Justice League is just going to be...
I think it's going to be a mess.
I think it's going to be a nightmare. And I want it to be good. And we've talked about this 1,000 times, but it's like my entire business hinges on these movies doing well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If superhero movies go away, I'm going to take a huge kick to the wallet. But what I'm saying is I don't think they have any fucking idea what they're doing. I think that this movie... It's unbelievable that this movie was as good as it was when we kind of look at, okay, look, the editing and this and this and this. But, like, Justice League is an 80% a Zack Snyder baby and 20% a Joss Whedon baby. It's like, I think it's just going to be
I still stand by that.
Dumpster fire of a movie.
I'm piggybacking off of what Steven said. I want the movies to be good. I read DC. I read very little Marvel. I love DC. These are the characters that I love, and I think that's why it's harder for me.
That's why it hurts so bad.
It does, because it's like, I don't give a fuck about Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't give a shit, but that movie was amazing.
Right.
And it's really hard. Like, I want it to do good, and I want it to succeed. I'm like the parent that's like, please do good, and my kid comes back with, like, heroin needles everywhere. It's like, I don't want it to be
it's
bad.
Not even taking him. He just throws them on the floor.
Needles everywhere. No, I want it to be good, but I don't have
I think
no. I think Justice League is going to be a train wreck.
Yes.
Especially now that you have someone else coming in to finish it. I feel like there's no way that's going to flow in a good way. And I don't agree with the look of it. I don't agree with the way that they seem to be just throwing shit together, and I have no hopes that it's going to be good.
Are they doing Aquaman, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the only thing.
Which no one understands.
Wearing an Iron Man suit.
My prediction is if it's...
That looks like it's been broken.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. But I think there's hope for the Aquaman movie because it's something that hasn't been done. So there's nothing really to compare it to.
And they make him look so badass.
He's a fresh face. I think the look is okay.
That's kind of all of what Wonder Woman had going for it.
Right. So anything that's going to be similar to Wonder Woman will work. Flash, they're already... messing that up, and Batman.
They've lost two directors,
but it's
and they have a successful TV show.
Grant Gustin
should
be Flash. Like Grant Gustin is Barry Allen. He's Barry Allen.
I thought Tom Welling should have been Superman and Man of Steel, and nobody listened to me.
Yeah, I think they won't know how to handle so many superheroes in Justice League, so it'll fall apart. So the only one I'm cautiously optimistic for is Aquaman.
And it's Jason Momoa, who just looks like a drunken sailor the whole time, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, but Arthur shouldn't be drunken.
Well, I think that's the thing, is they're going to do to Aquaman what Robert Downey Jr. did to Iron Man.
Yes.
The comics will be unrecognizable after that movie comes
out.
It'll
Robert
be so
Downey
different.
Jr. played... Like, no, Tony Stark was an alcoholic.
No, I agree.
But they used making it more his personality.
Yeah, Tony Stark was the whole, like, that's why Hawkeye's so shit in the Avengers movie, is because Tony Stark is playing the Hawkeye role of, like, the guy that's poking at everybody and trying to get everyone to start a fight. But I think they're already doing it. The solicitations for Aquaman they're giving him a beard, they're giving him long hair, like so they're going to push him Peter David. Back to the Barbarian King, which
without
I think
a hand,
is great.
Does he have a hand?
Does he have a hook?
He's not have the hook. Nah. He's still going to have.
Well, he's going to have two hands in the movie, so.
Right? Well, but maybe at one point one. They'll get rid of it. But I'm saying is like I think Aquaman is. I'm interested to see where they're going to go.
Yes,
but it's like
I'm still not. I'm wishfully thinking, but very. Cautious.
Yeah, I think it's going to fall flat on its face because I think most of the movie has to take place underwater. And I think that is, I don't think that's a difficult idea, but I think people making movies have a very hard time figuring out how to make, they'll be like, well, it's underwater, so like we have to, they're going to do something stupid and weird.
Ask Pixar for help.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying is like Pixar can make a movie anywhere.
Do your research.
Right.
Bring in some actual sea creatures.
Right.
Like get good animators. Like it's.
I
it's
think
not
it's
not that hard.
Problem is the last ones they're going to talk to is Disney.
Yeah, you know.
I think we're going to have varying degrees of success. I was thinking we were going to have nothing but garbage, and now I'm like, all right, we can do good things. I think Batman will be good just because they understand it and they've made him seven times with varying degrees of success. So I like the director.
Problem.
I like Matt Reeves.
I just think it's like he spent so much time in like, Batman vs. Superman being a psychopathic murderer.
Let's just stop doing Batman for a little while, give it a break, and let's focus on some other characters who could really be awesome.
Right. The problem is Batman is the only one they know will make money for.
Yeah.
And that was the lesson
the
they learned.
Gamble.
That's the lesson they learned from Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern. That's why they keep hedging their bets and trying to have their cake and eat it too. But if you think DC movies are going to be good or horrible, why don't you leave us a comment? You can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter, and that is the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Caffeinated Comics, where we post most of our news articles, and on each episode as it launches, you'll see a entry for this episode, and please leave a comment on that. And if you want to hear more from us, you can subscribe on iTunes, you can subscribe on Stitcher, or you can go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com and listen to any episode we've made since January 2013.
My God.
And if you find out which podcast we were on last, I would really love to know, because I cannot remember.
Yes, Joe Packovitz will find it.
Joe will know.
How do we find you guys?
I am at, I'm going to steal Stevens. I'm at Chimera's Comics, 19 South LaGrange Road, every single Sunday from 11 to 5.
Are you still on Twitter a lot?
I'm not, actually. I actually went off of Twitter for a while. I feel like I was too all over the place on the interwebs, and I needed to cut something. So I cut that. You can follow me on Instagram at timeywimeygal.
Mm-hmm. I am not usually on social media, and I have no life outside of work. So I
also Chimera's Comics.
Please come by on
talk
a Sunday.
Talk to us about comics. We love comics. Don't Chimera's talk to comics. Me about gaming. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But comics, I love it.
19 South LaGrange Road.
Yeah, that's where I'm sometimes, too.
Sort of.
Just a quick update on a serious note. Bill Monroe, as you know, is a great friend of the show. He appears every couple of months or so out in Seattle. Will weigh in on things like Star Trek and Doctor Who, and has his own podcast, 2-Minute Talk Tips. It turned out last night he had a medical emergency. He had a stroke, and he is in the hospital now. He seems to be doing okay. And if our conversation with Norm Breyfogle is anything to judge against, it is possible to come back 100%. But just wanted to let you guys know that he's a valuable part of the family. He's actually been my best friend since the late 80s, and we talk every month or so. Comes as a shock. We all hope he's doing well. If you would like to send him any messages, he is at currentlybill on Twitter. He is texting. We did not speak last night, but we texted each other. So his right side is working fine, and he's typing. He would love to see your words of encouragement. And if you want to know more about Bill, just listen to any of the episodes that he's on. He's a warm, witty, really sharp, fantastic guy. And we're all hoping that this is something he can put behind him. So just wanted to mention that. We will talk to you next week.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!